Welcome back to The Comixologist. Coming to you not live from New York City, it's Slim and Kazan.
I'm officially creeped out by that.
I'm back from England, in case you couldn't tell.
Well, this is the Comixology podcast. We talk about books that we read this week that you should read. And that's the gist. We want you to love comics just like we do.
Comics are great. Stories with words and pictures, and who doesn't love that? In your pocket. In your pocket on the Comixology app.
You were on a walkabout last week. Tia sat in for you. She did a fantastic job.
She was magnificent.
What did you do in England? Was this just a, you know, you need a break from me, you need a break from life, so you decided to go to merry old England?
One of my best friends lives there, and so I was visiting her, and we had shenanigans and adventures, and I was not in London. I was in other places in England, because there's more to that country than just its capital.
I didn't know that.
That's why I said it. I did a lot of driving. I drove on the left side of the road, or the wrong side of the road for us Americans, and I didn't crash the rental car, which was exciting. I hate driving in roundabouts with a fiery passion, because I know you're used to it. You're used to driving in Jersey, and you have those.
Oh, God, don't say that. That's so mean. You really know how to cut to the core of a person.
but roundabouts are just the worst. And aside from that, like, all the food I ate was great. I went on lots of adventures. We did an owl evening where we went to, like, this falconry place, and we were learning all about, like, owls and birds of prey, and, like, the owls. We're doing, like, flying demos, and you could put on, like, the leather glove thing, and the owl, like, flies to you. Learned that owls are literally the dumbest birds you could ever possibly encounter. For the first 5 weeks of their life, they learn how to be an owl. And then after that, it's like there's a switch that's flipped in their brain, and they just cease being able to do things, like, to a really alarming degree. Like, if an owl is doing a trick that you trained it to do, and anything deviates from the trick pattern, it will, like, freeze up. Like, the example that we were given was, there's this one horned owl that they trained to catch things midair, and it would, like, catch the thing and then drop to the ground and eat the thing and then fly back to its, like, little starting post. And a couple times it accidentally caught the thing and then landed on the post, as opposed to going to the ground first.
Idiot.
And just stood there for 2 hours trying to figure out why it wasn't on the ground. So... So everything that you thought about owls is wrong, because they're idiots.
Falconer is the term for, I guess, like, they just do falcons. So what are, like, owl dudes called, or gals?
You can't.
Owlers?
You can't, because owls don't do anything except for hunt in, like, the most efficient way possible. That's it. That's all they do. They just exist fluffily.
Poor little guys.
Yeah.
I still love owls, despite Kara's damning accusations.
No, they're adorable. Lives. They're just not very smart at all.
When's the next time you're going on another walkabout? Is it in a few weeks? Are you going to another fancy location? Or is this your last one?
I always am planning new trips to new exciting places. Next month, I'll probably be in Philadelphia, for example.
Oh, boy. Look out. Check out the Liberty Bell.
Yeah? Is that the one?
I don't know.
Is that the one? The one thing? You're wearing your Flyers hat. You have something to tell me beyond the Liberty Bell.
They just opened a Bonchan recently in Philadelphia, but you have to order double the hot sauce at that one, because they're a little light by default. So keep that in mind if you go there.
So speaking of fun foods, one of the things I had in England was we went to this pub where they served exotic meats. Like, on a hot stone in front of you, where the meat would be, like, grilling in front of you before you ate it. So I tried zebra and ostrich, which I already knew that I liked, and tried some kangaroo, too.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Kangaroo.
Yeah. It's pretty...
How was that? What's that taste like?
Gamey. But, like, in a nutritious way? I don't know.
Weird. It doesn't sound good.
No,
you described it.
It was good. I really preferred the ostrich. So, like, compared to the other things, I was like, oh, this is the one.
Maybe we should get into some comic books.
Oh, speaking of comic books, I saw many on my trip. because we popped into an antique shop that had like all these long boxes of comics from like the 90s. And I found like a complete run of a Ragman miniseries that I came really close to buying, because Ragman is one of my favorite characters in the DC universe, and he's very little known. But Ragman hangs out in Gotham, and he has a suit that's made of rags where, yeah, if you can imagine, and each of them like represents a sinner's soul. He's like Spectre Light, because his suit is like drawn to people who are like evil or committing crimes or whatever, and then the suit will absorb them into its fabric. So he sounds really creepy, but he's actually adorable. He's in, Shadow Pact, I want to say, which was one of my favorite series from the mid-2000s. He was on that team. And just everything about him is delightful. His name is Rory. Was there ever a man who's named Rory who wasn't delightful? So, but anyway, so I saw these Ragman comics. And then I was in a ladies' room in one of these pubs, and they just had like a page of Judge Dredd artwork like up on the wall, just like randomly. We were not in like a themed pub or anything. It was there because England, I guess.
So did you see any comic shops that weren't antique shops?
Yeah, I was supposed to go to Forbidden Planet, but I didn't have time, but I hear that was really good. But yeah.
Supposed to be the big one over there, I think.
Yep.
But there's a lot going on in Comixology right now.
Yeah.
Exam.
Yeah, what came out
a
this week?
A lot happening. Boy, howdy. Well, one of the books I read, which we'll get into a little bit, was a Neil Adams book, but there's a big Neil Adams sale happening now, which ends on 228, up to 50% off pretty much the Neil Adams greatest hits. So a lot of one of the most famous ones was the Ra's al Ghul storyline. Ra's al Ghul.
Bruce Timm says Ra's al Ghul, so I agree with him.
There's also a Lumberjanes sale, which ends 225. So I think we've talked about the book a ton, so now's probably the best time to get in on it. And there's an IDW Deep Dive sale. So a lot of G.I. Joe trades that are on sale.
Cool.
But let's get into the new releases. Saga 34. You ever heard of that book? There's a new Dark Knight 3 issue out. There's an Unbeatable Squirrel Girl.
Yes.
Unbeatable Squirrel Girl.
Yeah, it's a really complicated title to say.
It is really tough.
I feel like I'm always like choking on the G in girl when I say it. Unbeatable Squirrel Girl.
There's a lot of trouble spots in that phrase.
Now I'm overthinking it. But it's a delightful title. It's one of my faves.
Justice League, new Hellboy series, Hex 11 trade,
yeah,
which we've talked about, The Spirit, Ninja Turtles, Street Fighter, and G.I. Joe, Chewbacca trade, Bloodshot, new issue of Faith, number 2, Wild's End, Conan, The Flash, so just a ton of stuff. Let's see what else we got here. Gem. I just scrolled through that.
Thank you.
I wonder if that's on one of your books that you're going to talk about.
Everyone already knows I have different things I will talk about this week. I promise. You just all know in your hearts that I would love to be talking about Gem.
New issue of Outcast, which I recently caught up on, which is probably one of my favorite books that's out now. Let's see. New Avengers, Spider-Man. But let's get into stuff that we read. Should I go first or are you going first?
Oh, you, by all means.
All right, so I saw, let's see, Neil Adams, legend, icon. I saw that he had a new book out called Coming of the Supermen. And if you'd ever read his Batman Odyssey stuff, which came out, I think that was kind of like his most recent take on characters of today's day and age. And it's like one of the most insane comics I've ever read in my life. Like, that is literally insanity. So I saw Coming of the Superman out. I was like, well, all right, yeah, I'm into some insanity right now, Neil Adams.
Yeah.
And it has a very, like, 1980s vibe where there's just always kind of, like, zany things happening to Superman in his comic books, and they're always very weird. And in this one, you don't really have to know anything about continuity. It's just Superman's still the planet. And these three Supermen come to Metropolis. They're wearing his suit. But they look like slightly different. One's got curly hair. One's a ginger, I think.
Do they have his same bone structure? Is that why they all look like him? Or,
like, I mean, I didn't off the bat notice bone structure.
Well, do they look like they have the same faces, but just different hairstyles? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, everyone Neil Adams draws kind of looks just like a very sexy man. So they were all just very well-groomed men that were wearing Superman's costume.
Very chiseled.
And had similar bone structure. And Superman tries to get to the bottom of it, but he's in the Middle East, and he encounters some kind of shady winged individual who reveals something to him.
Is it Hawkman?
About the past.
Because Hawkman's really shady, just like in general.
No, he's not Hawkman.
As a character.
What's his people called? The Thangars?
Thangarians? I had this conversation. Were you there? I can't remember. I was up like where your desk is, and I was in a conversation where we were talking about like being discriminatory to humans versus non-humans just based on them being humans. We were talking about like mutants and like if people just like treat mutants differently just because they were mutants. And I was like, well, are you going to look at like Time Lords and discriminate against them because you know that they're a Time Lord? Or like what about like the Rannians or the Thangarians or the Kree or something like that? And email guru Josh turned to me. He's like, you just listed like the most warlike races you possibly could have to make your argument. So,
well, I feel like the Thangarians, any book I've ever read them in, they've just been kind of jerks. They've been bad people.
I just don't understand Hawkman's appeal as a character at all. And whenever he's in anything,
he's got wings.
I just can't with him. Hawk Girl is great, but Hawkman, I just have always kind of detested. Like, I generally have positive feelings towards most comic book characters, but I just can't with Hawkman. I don't know what it is. But
well, anyway, it's not Hawkman. The character, the winged creature, is not Hawkman. And there's a big reveal at the end of the issue that takes place centuries ago, and Superman poops himself. I was surprised. It felt like a retro vibe and kind of like the wacky stuff happening, so I dug it.
All right. Yeah.
What about you?
Let's talk about Haunted Love, number one. Oh, wow. Same publisher as Weird Love, which I've spoken about on the show before. And Haunted Love, number one, is a compilation of like creepier romance comic stories from days of yore. And there are a few in this book. I'm just going to talk about the first one, because it was incredible, and I think it's a sufficient teaser for the rest of it. So the first story is this like old woman living with her granddaughter and telling her granddaughter like how much she just utterly loathes men. Just like men are the worst and you should always like hate men. So she like teaches her granddaughter to hate men, and the girl's like, I wish that men were worms so I could just step on them all. And as the little girl like turns into this young woman, her grandmother's on her deathbed, and the grandmother's like, okay, I want to die as if I've lived hating men. And once I'm dead, you should like look behind the fireplace where I've like hidden this thing. So she dies, and the granddaughter like goes behind the fireplace and finds this book of witchcraft because her grandmother was a witch. So she's like teaching herself witchcraft, and she finds a spell where if she kisses a man and then, like, says this incantation, he turns into a worm before her very eyes. So she goes on this kissing, worm-turning, worm-stomping rampage through all the capitals of Europe. And just, like, the visual of all of these men turning into worms and her, like, stepping on them with her high heels. I was like, oh, my God. And I will spoil the end of this one because it was just I can't. She falls in love with one of her victims. So she's like, you can never kiss me. And he like sneaks up on her when she's asleep and kisses her, turns into a worm. And then when she wakes up, she accidentally steps on him. And then she's so distraught that she like finds some poison that's lying around and drinks it, and as she's dying, all of these worms start inching towards her, and she's like, they're not going to wait until I'm dead. And the last shot of this story is this woman just like covered in worms while she's still alive? And like, that's what it leaves you with. So that's your teaser for the rest of the book. There's like four more stories in this one issue. Totally worth it. It's just,
I love this line of books. I talked about one with Tia, and is this the same deal? Like it's like older,
yeah,
printed books, yeah, yeah, and they're, yeah, reprinting it. Yeah,
yeah, just taking the best of like these really strange romance comics from back in the day and putting and repackaging them before you, so you know what you're getting into right from the cover.
Yeah, I'm so thankful for these little collected books. Because otherwise, how are you ever going to read classics like this unless you like dig into an antique shop in England next to Ragman?
Yeah, not everyone has that luxury. Sometimes you just got to go on Comixology and get the compilation.
All right. So I read, you ever heard of Garbage Pail Kids?
No, tell me more.
Garbage Pail Kids were like a trading card set when I was growing up with my brother that were like a parody of...
Cabbage Patch?
Cabbage Patch Kids. Like, they all had, like, a weird deformity or bad thing happening to them, and they had a funny name. And actually, what I didn't realize until today was Art Spiegelman helped create them. You know, the famed mouse creator.
Oh, okay.
So I saw that we had a collection coming out today, so I read the first issue, and it was really funny. They had a great, unique group of creators kind of doing all little one-short stories, and I tweeted a screenshot of one of my favorite panels, and it's just like I went down the grapevine. I found out that they actually made a Garbage Pail movie in the 80s, and it was dreadful.
So you're gonna watch it?
Yeah. So if I think a lot of people my age will probably remember the Garbage Pail Kids trading cards. So if you remember those, you should definitely read the book, because it was really funny and gross, and there's just like a lot of sick humor. So definitely read it.
What a selling point. It was really gross. You should read it. Although I can't make fun of you for that, because that's like my selling point for I Hate Fairyland.
That's true.
I obviously would love to talk about really briefly about Hex 11, because the trade that collects the first story arc is out today. And full disclaimer, I very enthusiastically backed their Kickstarter to make this trade a reality, because I just love this story so much. And it's a story where, like, once I was reading it, I was like, where was this when I was like 12 or 13? Like, I would have been all over this as like a preteen teenage girl who loved fantasy stories about badass ladies. So
I just like how you called yourself a preteen teenage girl.
Preteen teenage girl. But, you know, it's delightful. Hex 11, for those of you who are new to the show, is a story about, it's like a world similar to ours, but magic is real. And you're either born with magic or you can like buy it, because magic has been like commoditized. And the people who are naturally born with magic are kind of like living in this slummy area of this city called the Hex. And there's like this conspiracy from the people who are trying to like make money off of this commoditizing of magic to like tramp down the natural magic users. But the real strong point of this story for me is the characters, because all the characters are like really well developed. Like our heroine, Eleanor, is like learning to use her powers, and she's got like a female mentor figure, and there's a sexy demon in there who there's tension with, and he has very nice bone structure. And there's, you know, there's just like this delightful supporting cast of characters, and like the art's really beautiful. And I think the colors in this book translate really well to reading it digitally. And I just like basically tell everyone I know to read this story. It's like this Gem and Rat Queens are like my go-tos of like, you should read this book. So I'm excited that the trade is out. So if you haven't checked out Hex 11, now's a good time. It's all collected very conveniently for you.
Good today. People over at Hex 11 too. We met them at San Diego last year.
Yeah, they were delightful. They make like these, there's like these little creatures that inhabit the Hex 11 world called dragon kitties. They're basically like little cats that have like little dragon wings and dragon tails. and they can like breathe fire and stuff because they're like part dragon, part cat. And I'm like, how has no one ever done this before? This is like the most genius plan. So
it definitely worked on you. You fell under the Hex 11 spell.
And what a spell it is. Spellbind. I'm spellbound by Hex 11.
One other book that I wanted to talk about, Faith. Second issue came out from Valiant. And Faith is a character that has spun out of the Valiant universe and has gotten her own series. And there's been like some really interesting PR around this book because as far as I'm aware, it's like the first superhero plus-sized female lead character that I can even think of. So it's great to see Valiant kind of put out this book and see what happens. And I think the response has been pretty great. And so this character, she was a team member of the Renegades in this Valiant universe, and she has these, this was like a group of kind of like Valiant's version of mutants, I guess you could say, if like you're not, you're, if you're unfamiliar with the Valiant universe. So they have these powers, and she's now out of that group, so she's moved away to try to start her own life again, and she has a secret identity. And you know, in like the modern day telling of a superhero, like what job would they have? Would they go to the work at like the newspaper? The answer is no. She's kind of working for like a BuzzFeed type place.
Mm-hmm.
And she has this long history of writing blogs under a, you know, a pen name. So it was easy for her to get this job. And the first issue kind of lays the groundwork for you to find out who this character is and the trouble she faces with a secret identity and like the hijinks that she gets into at night. And I was actually really surprised because the character was written really well, but it, the character seems like so relatable to anyone.
Me?
Trying to, like anyone that appreciates good bone structure. but it's just like in general. I mean, she likes comic books. She makes mention of finding a local comic shop when she first got to this new city. And it seems like just like the perfect jumping on point for someone that maybe reads comics and wants to try another superhero book but is hesitant.
Yeah, I feel like Faith would be best friends with Miss Marvel and they would just geek out over everything.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I feel like this could be Valiant's Miss Marvel. Like if you enjoy Miss Marvel, Kamala Khan, you would probably dig pretty hard Faith from Valiant.
Yeah, I read Faith number 2 that came out this week, and that was kind of building off this, like, you see more about how she's relatable. Like, there was this one page that really hit close to home for me because she was talking about how when, like, a superhero comes on the scene, everyone just kind of expects the day to be totally saved. But superheroes aren't perfect, and sometimes, like, they can save everyone, but they don't know who the villain is. Or they didn't, like, get a good look at the device before it exploded. And just, like, saying that, it, like, these frustrations that she had at not being, like, this ideal that was expected of her or that she thought was expected of her. And I was like, everyone can relate to this? And I need a minute. So yeah, issue 2, a very strong follow-up on issue 1, plus drama.
Uh-oh, is her ex show up?
Maybe.
Oh boy.
He has very, very nice bone structure.
Yeah, his name's Torque, which is like one of the most manliest names you could have for a male superhero. I laughed at myself when I read that.
Yeah, and he has like a reality show where I was like, of course. Of course, if someone in this world had superpowers, they would absolutely have a trashy reality show.
Mm-hmm. if you at all are interested in trying out Faith, a new female-led superhero book from Valiant, which has a great universe that's been building for a few years, you can
foe free.
We have created this code FAITHPOD, FAITHPOD. Enter that at comixology.com/redeem, and you'll get the first issue for free. And if you dig it, be sure to let our friends at Valiant know, too.
And I haven't really read a lot of books in the Valiant universe, and Faith is really easy to get into. If you don't know where to start with the Valiant universe, you've been hearing a lot of buzz about them, Faith is a good jumping on point, because there's like it's a standalone story, but they like just hint enough at other stuff that's going on where you're like, oh, this is part of a bigger universe, but you're not like intimidated or bogged down by continuity or anything.
Mm-hmm. Should we get into the letters?
Yes, please.
For this week? Letters at comixology.com. You can shoot us a letter. We might read it on this podcast.
And we'll definitely read it, even if we don't read it on the podcast. Because we love all our listeners.
First subject line, do you like waffles?
Yes.
Was that please it? Note, that was not it. There's the letter goes on, please note the actual email has nothing to do with your waffle preferences. Hi, guys. Please read enthusiastically. Something Slim said in the podcast this week about Sharon Carter got me thinking. Could Comixology ever make its own version of an omnibus or trade of a character that doesn't have one? Using Sharon Carter as an example, could you guys pick out what you feel are the key issues for the character, put them together in a single volume on the platform, maybe even commissioning some new art for a cover and then sell it at a price maybe lower than the issues? Or does the publisher have sole right to do that? Keep up the work. I'm kidding. You guys are great. And that comes from Ed B.
Ed, I'll have you know that reading comic books is very hard work.
It's a good question. You know, maybe people don't know how like digital comics work. Maybe like they think we can kind of just put out whatever we want since we work with the publishers, which would be cool, but not really the case. We work with the publishers as much as possible to come up with cool ideas for books and sales, but when it comes to like a publisher's character, it's kind of up to them. So let Marvel know. That'd be kind of cool. Because I don't know. I think I maybe saw one Sharon Carter trade. But I think Captain America also was on the cover.
I know. I'm always like hinting to Archie Comics that they should be doing more like Reggie and Cheryl Blossom collections. But, you know, that's just me on Twitter being a jerk. So.
Next letter, live from New York, it's comic books. Hey, mixologists, the world has turned into Deadpool's playground and we are all in recess.
Yes.
The movie was huge. Huge. The internet is now 68% Deadpool commercials, and I'm pretty sure I received 11 billion emails from Comixology for Deadpool sales. Sorry. There's even a petition
going. We just want to share the love.
There's even a petition going around trying to get Deadpool to host SNL. If he hosts, he'll be the first fictional character to helm the show since Donald Trump. But he'll be the first comic book character host, which will be pretty awesome. My question to you, besides Deadpool, what comic book character would you love to see host SNL? And just to make it easy for Kara, yes, Gem and the Holograms are the musical guest. Personally, I'd wish for Rocket Raccoon. Can't wait to hear your picks. Thanks, and keep mixing those comics. I think that comes from Ryan.
Friend of the show.
Ryan. what's your pick for SNL host?
I can't say Groot because most people would just be like, no. Let's go with Drax. Drax would be pretty funny as a host. And why don't you just make Colossus and Negasonic Teenage Warhead the co-hosts and just let them do their thing.
I feel like there's so much Deadpool news that like this story has come out and has already passed. Like I missed the wave of this story because I think like I saw a subject line said Ryan Reynolds on why Deadpool won't host SNL. So I was like, all right, I guess I don't have to read anything then. It's over.
I saw Deadpool on Valentine's Day while I was in England, and when we got out of the movie, everyone was like, oh my God, that was so awesome and revolutionary and stuff. I was like, it was exactly like watching a well-written Deadpool comic. Like, hundreds of these stories exist already.
If only they knew.
If only they knew. Yeah. That's why we send so many emails about the sales, because we want everyone to know that there's more right now. You don't have to wait the 2 years for the studio to get their act together. You can be reading Deadpool right now.
You should have been slapping people with your Kindle Fire tablet. Some Deadpool comics at that theater.
I like the trade Monkey Business. It's Deadpool and Spidey having adventures, and there's also like a Hit Monkey backup feature, which is great. Which, if anyone's been reading Howling Commandos of S.H.I.E.L.D., they'll know something about Hit Monkey, but this was like the core Hit Monkey story. He is a monkey who's a hitman. Yeah, so I don't know what else you want.
Comic books, everybody.
Comic books, yes.
Final letter. Cash rules everything around me. K K. Slim, someone asked me the other day what the price of a new comic is, and I couldn't give a straight answer. When publishers charge more for a book in higher demand, is it bad for industry sales as a whole by taking disposable income away from other comics, even within the same publisher's lines? I get the reasons why, but what are your thoughts on the tier of prices depending on which book and issue number? By the way, the Dusty Rhodes hidden track at the end of the Latour interview on Conversations was pure genius, daddy. Thanks for your time, Mikey P. Thank you. Other friend of the show. I did secretly add in the Dusty Rhodes hard times promo, so hopefully WWE doesn't listen and won't sue me.
Well, you not every episode, but you like adding Easter eggs at the end of
stuff. I do, yeah.
It's usually
we haven't had any in a while.
Well, because it's usually me making really weird noises or singing.
We're just like, yes. And then off air, I told you that you should make your own text tone, just you making that noise, and then just have the audio up. So it texts you constantly, it just be that noise.
I don't know if
you were repulsed by that idea, if I recall.
I don't know if people around me would be very satisfied with that as a thing that was forced into their lives.
Yeah. I don't have too many thoughts on comic book pricing, just based solely on the fact that I think the one day somebody was complaining about comic book prices, and then they just said that, I think it was about a Stuart Immonen comic book, whose comics are glorious, and they just like flat out said that, like, Stuart Immonen took him a month to make this comic book.
Yeah.
Like, this is a month of his life. So at that point, I think I stopped, like, complaining about comic book prices.
Yeah, I think the more I got into the comic book industry and, like, comic creators, and now it's so easy with social media to get, like, behind-the-scenes looks at what the creative process is actually like, and the more I hear about, like, all the work that goes into these comics, the more I'm like, well, just take my money. Why is this so cheap? This is a work of art. What are you doing?
What a show. Great show today, K-Zam.
Thank you. Delightful that we're both back from Europe. We both survived.
We are back in the States.
Yeah.
You know, for lunch today, you would have cracked up. I reheated some tacos from last night, put some Frank's hot sauce in there. You know, what a life, I said to myself.
What a life indeed. Thank you all for listening. Enjoy your comics. Write to us whenever you want. Letters@comixology.com. Thank you.
Goodbye.